Proverbs chapter 1. If you've got one of the Bibles from the pews, it's on page 511. We're starting from verse 20. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On the top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning again. You know, 10 years ago, about 10 years ago, I got in a car accident, and it was my fault. I was at fault. And I was driving on the highway at rush hour, and I wasn't sure where my exit was. And so I looked down at the map on my phone to try and figure out where I was going. And while I was looking down, traffic stopped, and I rammed into the car in front of me, and I totaled both cars. Thankfully, no one was badly hurt. The woman in the car in front of me was a bit shaken up, but we were okay. I ended up in the back of a police cruiser that night, giving my statement about what had happened. And I mean, I knew it was my fault, right? I had been foolish. And I knew that as soon as I mentioned my phone, I was going to be in big trouble. But I was honest. And sure enough, I got a huge ticket. The charges were distracted driving, as you might expect, but also reckless driving. And I later talked to my insurance broker, and they told me that if I didn't get the reckless driving charge dropped, I would lose my insurance. It was a big deal. But as I was talking to the police officer in the car, she told me that because I had been honest, if I went to court, I had a good chance of getting that charge reduced. So I went through that process and was told to wait to hear back from the court system about when my court date would be to go and talk to them. So I waited, and I waited, and I waited for months, for a long time. And I know the court system is slow, but I waited. And finally, I got a letter from the court system in the mail, and I opened it expecting it to tell me when my court date was. But instead, I read a very severe letter telling me that because I had missed my court date, the charges were going through. I owed about $1,000, had something like 9 points on my license. My insurance company was going to be informed. And I remember just freezing. How in the world could that be right? I couldn't have missed my court date. I didn't know what my court date was. How did I mess this up? It's one of those moments where like the world kind of just screeches to a halt and you can hear your heart beating in your ears. This is going to be a big deal, right? The consequences are going to be serious. I was going to lose my ability to drive. What was I going to do? Now, if I had read that letter and said, that's too bad for that poor guy, whoever he is. He should have gone to his court date, should have driven more safely. Now that would have been taking foolishness to a new level. Today we're looking at a passage from the Bible that's a lot like the letter I received from the court system. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33, we're going to read a severe rebuke for foolish behavior. And it informs us in this passage that we've missed the window of opportunity. We've missed the chance, and consequences are now coming. This is a heavy passage. And yet I believe most of us never consider that this might be a rebuke for us. Instead of life screeching to a halt when we read this and try to figure out, if we've messed up and if we're going to be able to receive grace or just the consequences for our foolish behavior, we assume this passage rather is for someone else. We think, man, too bad for them. They should have listened. So today, as we look through this passage together, there's a big question that each of us must ask as we look at it. And that question is simply this: am I listening to wisdom in my life, or am I foolishly ignoring it? Am I listening to wisdom in my life, or am I foolishly ignoring it? This passage of Scripture is going to show us three truths and then ask us to examine our lives to see what our relationship with wisdom is and then respond wisely. So here's the first truth that we're going to see in there. Wisdom is calling. Wisdom's out there speaking. Wisdom's calling. Last week, we started this book of Proverbs. We went through the introductory verses about how the Proverbs are collected together in this book to teach us wisdom. We talked about how wisdom is not just about knowledge in our brains, our heads, but it's about how to live our lives well. These are to show us how to do what is right and just and fair, we read. We saw that the starting point in Proverbs 1, verse 7, the starting point of wisdom is to fear the Lord God, to remember who He is and who we are, and to be humble before God, to love Him, to honor Him. And then we were introduced to a mother and a father speaking to us as their young, foolish son, calling us to walk a wise path and not a foolish one. And we talked about last week how the book of Proverbs is for everyone, whether you're male or female, young or old, wise or foolish. There are things in this book for us. It's all for us. But the way that it's written often uses parents speaking to a young son who needs to grow up as kind of its like framing device. And so all of us are meant to put ourselves in the shoes of this young man and to learn wisdom from these parents speaking to us. And so now we come to verse 20. And in verse 20, the parents are acting as sort of a narrator in a larger sense. And they're pointing us to wisdom herself. In the book of Proverbs, both wisdom and folly, or foolishness, are presented as women who are calling to the young man or to us. And in the kind of the metaphor of the book, we as a young man need to make a choice about what woman to choose. Whether we're going to choose to marry Lady Wisdom, who will be faithful and bring us honor, or to have a wild fling with Lady Folly, who will leave us ashamed and destroyed. That's sort of a choice of the two paths that are presented throughout the book of Proverbs. But in this passage, when we're introduced to Lady Wisdom, she's not inviting us kindly to herself, saying, come choose me. She's angrily rebuking us. Look at verse 20 again. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. Now pay attention to there's four verbs in those verses, four action words. And as I said, this is not a polite invitation to dinner. She is calling aloud. She is raising her voice. She is crying out. She is making a speech. Right? As we read through this, those verbs of what the woman is, Lady Wisdom, is saying to us should show us two things. The first is that she's speaking publicly. Right? She wants everyone to hear her. You can see that from the way she's talking, but you can also see that from where she's talking in these verses. Right? She's out in the open. She's in the public square. She's on top of the city walls. She's at the city gate, which back in the Old Testament, in the Jewish context, would have been the place that you'd go to for an important public meeting. Right? So this is good news. Wisdom is speaking out publicly. She's not hard to find. She's there, and she's ready to accept us if we listen to her. You know, there have always been religions that have taught that wisdom is above the average person. Right? That if you want to know what's true about God, you need to be the spiritually elite, and the common person is not able to do it. They're just not good enough. There's no hope. You'll never really know God. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Wisdom's voice is loud and public and out there for you to listen to. And if we listen, we will be able to benefit from her words. But the other thing that we're seeing from the way that wisdom is speaking in these first two verses is that, again, she's agitated. She's upset, right? You can see that as you read. She's raising her voice. She's crying out in English. It's even more clear in the Hebrew that's behind this. These are emotionally charged verbs, right? Wisdom is using the voice that I use when I've told my kids four times to stop and they have not listened or chosen to obey, right? They've ignored me. She's using the voice for the exact same reason that I use my voice, which brings us to the second truth. The first truth is wisdom is calling. The second truth is this. Foolish people ignore wisdom because they love being foolish. That's why foolish people don't listen, because they love being foolish. So look at verse 22 as she begins her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Right, this is why Lady Wisdom is upset. She's been calling and calling and calling, and people are refusing to listen. So she asks, how long will you continue this? There's a psalm in the book of Psalms. Psalm 13 uses a similar language to invite us to call out to God when we suffer and it feels like God is not there. You know, Psalm 13 starts off, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? But then wisdom turns the table on us and asks the exact same question to us. How long will you continue in your foolish ways? This is especially significant as we consider, who are we talking about when we talk about Lady Wisdom? Right? Lady Wisdom is a personification. She's a poetic, giving personhood to one of God's attributes. Wisdom comes from God, right? He is the all-wise one. Wisdom is defined by God's character and being. We've already seen that for humans, wisdom begins by fearing the Lord. We cannot be wise unless we remember God's place in the universe as the all-wise God who created and sustains everything. We're going to see in this chapter that wisdom speaks very much like God speaks, promising to be with us if we turn to her and bringing judgment for sin if we do not. In other words, Lady Wisdom is a poetic stand-in for the all-wise God himself. Now, we're not used to talking about God with feminine terminology because God has revealed himself to us in masculine terms, right? He calls himself he. We talk about God the Father, God the Son. But we need to understand that God is not a male or a female. He doesn't have a body like we do. God's a spirit, right? And everything that is good about masculinity and femininity comes from our Creator. And so occasionally God does talk about himself using female analogies, right? I could point you to Deuteronomy 32:18, where he calls himself the God who birthed Israel. Isaiah 66:13 says that he is like a mother who comforts her child. And here, he is represented by Lady Wisdom. And so while we cry out to God and say, how long, O Lord, I don't understand, he cries out to us and says, how long, you foolish people, will you refuse to understand? Now, that doesn't mean that we're not allowed to call out to God and cry out to God when we don't understand, when we're suffering. That's not the point at all, right? Psalm 13 was given to us for this very reason. It's okay to pray that to God and to struggle and to bring those struggles to God in faith. In fact, doing so is wisdom. How we grow in wisdom is by coming to God with our confusion and saying, God, help me sort this out. It's when we refuse to come to God for wisdom that we're in trouble and we're being foolish. God's wisdom calls out to us, and the foolish ignore it. We ignore that call. And again, why do the foolish ignore wisdom? Because the foolish love being foolish. Look again at Proverbs 1:22. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? Simple ignore wisdom because they love being simple. And then it goes on, how long will mockers delight in mockery? Mockers ignore wisdom because they delight in being mockers. And then it continues, and how long will fools hate knowledge? Fools ignore wisdom because they hate knowledge. In other words, they love being fools. That's a withering rebuke. Fools don't ignore wisdom because wisdom is too hard to understand. Fools don't ignore wisdom because they are incapable of learning. Fools ignore wisdom because they love things just as they are. They, or we could say we, don't want to put in the work to grow in discipline and learn how to do what is right and just and fair. That doesn't sound fun. Hard pass. So wisdom pleads with the foolish in verse 23. Repent at my rebuke. Take this rebuke seriously. Take it to heart, hear it, feel it, and repent. Right? That word repent means to turn, right? Turn from your foolish ways. Put them aside and go down a better path. And if they do, if we do, Lady Wisdom promises this in verse 23, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. That first part, I will pour out my thoughts to you, right? God's wisdom is talking about helping us to understand things. But actually, the English Standard Version has, I think, a better translation there. And it says, I will pour out my spirit to you. Now, the translation could go either way there, but again, I think it's most commentaries I looked at, they would go with the spirit understanding of it. And again, remember that Lady Wisdom is a poetic stand-in for God himself who calls out to us and promises to pour his spirit on us if we turn from our foolish and sinful ways. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Paul prays this exact thing for us. In Ephesians 1, 17, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. God promises to open our eyes through his spirit in us so that we can know him and see what is good and true and wise so that we will not love our foolish ways. That's the call, but actually this passage actually says that we've already missed that opportunity to respond to the call. That brings us to the third truth. Right? The first one is that wisdom is calling. The second truth was that fools ignore wisdom's call because we love being foolish. And thirdly, we see there comes a time when it's too late for foolish people to turn. There comes a time when you can't do it anymore. It comes a time when it's too late for foolish people to turn. So look at verse 24. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. He goes on and says, then they will call out to me, but I will not answer. Wisdom says, listen, you refuse to listen. I called and I called and no one pays attention. I offered help and you slapped my hand away. You disregard my advice. My rebuke had no effect on you. The consequences are going to come in your life for the way that you are living. And when they do, I will laugh. You missed your court date. The charges are going through. What a terrifying thought that is. There is an opportunity to turn to God, away from sin and foolishness, and be saved, but that opportunity will not last forever. There will come a time when it is too late. You will be too entrenched in your folly to turn. Now, last week we talked about the different terminology that Proverbs uses for wisdom, or sorry, for foolishness. Right? We talked about the idea of being simple. The simple are those who are young and inexperienced. They have naturally foolishness in the way that they live because of we all have that. They need to be taught and molded and learn wisdom. But on the other side of the spectrum from simplicity, there's being a mocker. For mockers, foolishness has become a way of life. Mockers don't change because they don't think they need to change. They think that they know better than everyone else and they won't listen to correction. They can't be taught because they're stubborn in their folly. They look down on those who try to help them. They mock them and they mock God. But this is such an important warning for all of us. Right? It's so easy to say, well, I'm not a mocker like that, but so many of us think at different times, I know I should probably change, but I don't want to. Having fun right now. It's too much work. Think about it when I'm older. Or I don't have time to think about God right now. I'm just going through other stuff that's really hard, and I can't think about that. But God says, now is the time. You may not have tomorrow. And possibly God is bringing you through hard times so that you are motivated to think about him and turn to him from your foolishness that you don't even know that you have. What is God trying to show you through the things he's bringing you through? The part that is probably the hardest to swallow from this passage and the scariest part is that wisdom says she will laugh when the consequences come crashing down on us like a storm. Verse 26, he says, I will turn and laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. And then verse 28, they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look to me, and they will not find me. Right? Again, wisdom, who is a poetic stand-in for God, says, you will call to me for help, but I will not answer you. I was once calling out to you in public, but now you'll look for me and you will not find me. How could God make such a threat? Doesn't God answer everyone who calls to him for help? I mean, Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a promise. Psalm 86, verse 7 says, when I am in distress, I call to you because you answer. But here's the problem. Not everyone who calls out to God for help is really calling to him. There was an African pastor and theologian named Augustine. You may have heard of him. He lived at the beginning of the 5th century AD, a long, long time ago. He was one of the most prolific writers of the early church. And he said, he talked about this in this way. He said, you call upon whatever you love. Therefore, if you call upon God for this reason, in order that money may come to you, that an inheritance may come to you, that worldly rank may come to you, well, then you're calling upon those things that you desire may come to you. But you are making God the helper of your desires, not the listener of your needs. God is good if he gives you what you wish. Now, it's possible that you can live your life, that's at the end of the quote I'm talking now, it's possible that you can live your life loving foolish sin and ignoring God until disaster strikes, and in that time of disaster, your heart truly does turn to God. And if you do, and you call out to him, he will answer you and save you, though he may not rescue you from the consequences of your folly. But what is more likely is that when the disaster strikes, you will call out to God asking him to restore you to restore what you lost or what is being threatened, because you just want to go right back to the way things were before. And if he says yes, you would still be far from him. This is the danger in delaying. The more we turn from God to foolishness, the more our hearts despise God and love our folly. The more danger we are in. So at this point in the passage, we've seen the three truths, right? The wisdom is calling. The foolish do not listen and turn from wisdom because they love their foolish ways. And there will come a time when it's too late for foolish people to turn. We've seen these three truths, and we're ready to examine our lives and ask the question that's hanging out there. And that question is this. Am I listening to wisdom, or am I a fool? Now, the passage continues in verse 28. I already read part of this, but wisdom says, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now, at first it just feels like this passage is just continuing saying more of the same. But there actually is one major difference between these verses and the previous part. The pronouns have changed. Now, that may not be something that you notice right away. That's okay. Lady Wisdom was saying you before. You refused to listen when I call. You disregarded all my advice and do not accept my rebuke. And in turn, I will laugh when disaster strikes you. But now the perspective has switched. While Lady wisdom continues to rebuke fools, And while she does that, we have the ability to step out of the line of fire so we can observe and think about what she's saying to them. Then they, verse 28, will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but I will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of our schemes. This shift in perspective gives us some room to breathe and to ask the question, should this still be aimed at me? Should the word be you instead of them? Am I the fool who loves folly and hates knowledge? Am I spurning wisdom's rebuke? Do I deserve the destruction that comes from that? You know, it's curious that this rebuke comes at the beginning of the book, isn't it? I've been calling and calling and calling. Well, I just started reading this thing. It feels like it should come at the end. We don't even know what we need to change yet. We haven't been taught about wisdom, right? This book is going to go on for 31 chapters to give us instruction on sexual purity, money, work, patience, marriage, raising kid, and so much more. Now, it would make sense to give us that rebuke at the end of that, right? After everything I've said to you, you still aren't listening. But here at the beginning, it has an important role for us. It gets us ready for all of that instruction, right? It warns us of the danger of being taught wisdom. The danger of being taught wisdom is that when wisdom calls out and we are too foolish to ignore her voice because we love our foolishness, that leads to danger. That leads to problems. That leads to consequences that we won't be able to escape. And the question that's asking here, is this us? Is this you? Are you going to find yourself deserving this rebuke in the end? But listen, nobody likes being corrected. Nobody likes being told off or realizing they don't live up to where they should be. No one likes being the fool. But the beginning of the wisdom is what? It's the fear of the Lord, right? Wisdom begins by remembering that God is God and we are not. God is all wise and we are naturally foolish. God never needs correction and we regularly need correction. If we can start there by saying to God, God, I am a fool and a sinner, and you are the most high God, and I cannot live up to your standard. Then we begin to be wise. And what's more, God has promised mercy for those who humble themselves before God. Listen, if we come to God confessing that we just can't live up to his standard, then we don't need to fear punishment or shame, because Jesus already took that punishment and that shame for us when he died on the cross in our place. Our foolishness and sin was paid for by him, and his wisdom and goodness was given to all who trust in him. His death and resurrection remove guilt and fear and shame for all who fear the Lord and trust in him. One of the applications of that is that you and I, we don't need to fear or worry about admitting that we are foolish. We're afraid of losing face, people looking down on us, thinking that we're less than, you know, our reputation maybe thought we were. But honestly, I think if you're willing to admit, man, I messed up, I'm an idiot, I'm a fool, I'm a sinner, I think many people respect you for it, right? The worst thing is when everybody knows you've done something foolish and you're unwilling to admit it. That's the worst kind of reputation you can have, right? But it is possible that you may lose face with someone because you admit that you're a fool. Like sitting in the back of a police cruiser having to admit, yeah, I looked at my phone. But the beautiful truth is, it doesn't matter what that person thinks, because God has accepted you already. When I crashed my car, I'm not sure if I could have gotten away with denying that I was looking at my phone, but I was certainly tempted to try. I wasn't texting. I wasn't changing my music. I was looking at my map. And actually, I told the police officer I was looking at my map. And she didn't say, okay, well, you're going to get charged. She asked, was your map on your phone, right? It was the phone that was the problem. If I had been looking at a paper map, it might not have been as big of a deal. So I could have justified, rationalized lying and say, no, I had a paper map that I can't show you because I don't have, whatever. Right? I could have rationalized that. But God helped me tell the truth in that scary situation. I knew it would cost me, but I was able to do it because I knew who God is and I knew I could trust him. That my value does not come from what that police officer thought of me, what my insurance company thinks about me, or what anybody else thinks about me. That's the fear of the Lord that helps us to confess our foolishness. Well, there have been times when I've read through this passage in Proverbs, and I've come to this. I struggle with so much of Proverbs, but this part has struck me right away. I just immediately known that wisdom's rebuke was aimed at me. Just knew it right away. There have been sins in my heart and in my life that I kept hidden, I didn't want to deal with. I think of them as something I'm struggling with and can't seem to defeat. And then wisdom says, how long will you love your foolishness and refuse to turn away and repent? You're not struggling and trying for victory. You're enjoying your sin. You're refusing to take drastic measures to kill it. How long will you do that? Because if you continue down this path, calamity will overtake you like a storm, and disaster will sweep over you like a whirlwind, and distress and trouble will overwhelm you, and I will laugh when it happens. Turn before that happens. The challenge of this passage is to look into it like a mirror and see where you find yourself in it. The book of Proverbs, it's going to challenge all of us. It's going to make us uncomfortable. It's going to correct us. It's going to remind us that God is God and we are not. And we must fear him. When wisdom calls out to you, when she rebukes your foolishness, will you turn to God in humility and listen? Will you repent, turn from your folly and sin? Or will you despise wisdom's instruction because you love your foolish ways? You know, I'm not sure how I missed that letter with my court date in it, but thankfully I was able to sign an affidavit that I didn't receive it, and they rescheduled my court date, and my charges were significantly reduced, thank the Lord. But if I had never received that severe letter from the courts, I wouldn't have known that I needed to act to make things right. So let this rebuke from Lady Wisdom, from God, cause you to look at your life and ask, what do I need to do so that I'm living wisely? What attitudes in my heart need to change so that I'm ready for the challenges that will come from God's word? How do I turn my heart to the Lord in humility and fear? Fear him well so that I can be wise. These are the questions that are facing us. Would you pray with me about them? Oh Lord, we come before you as foolish people. It is not easy for us to fear you the way that we ought to. So often we belittle you in our minds without even meaning to. Or we fear you in the wrong way, a way that drives us away from you, thinking that you are scary and dangerous, rather than the one who is just great and loving and powerful and mighty. Would you help us to fear you as we ought to listen to your call and your rebuke, and not be afraid to not be ashamed to admit that, yes, we need to change, that we are foolish and we need your help and we need help from one another. Lord, do not let us continue in our folly because we love it. Help us to hate our folly. Help us to hate our sin, to recognize the beauty and the glory of what Jesus has done for us and who Jesus is. Lord, pour out your spirit on us as we turn to you so that we can know you and love you and then live in a way that is good and right and just. We ask for your help with expectant thanksgiving for how you promised to honor us through this. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.